Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined by Brian, who is joining us from the Sustainability Corner. Welcome, Brian.
Howdy.
Howdy. So I think by now probably most folks are following along, but just in case, Brian is been doing a bunch of really interesting and exciting sustainability adventures out here at the monastery. And, you know, forever we've been had a focus on sustainability at the monastery, really since it began. But Brian has brought new energy and ideas and that sort of thing and research really to it over the last, I don't know, what's it been, 6 months now, something like that?
Yeah, the 6 months I think it's been really cranking.
Yeah.
Some of the little behind-the-scenes stuff going on for a while before that.
Yeah. So we thought it would be fun. We've actually had quite a number of people comment on it in various ways. Since we started doing the interviews with you, Brian, about just how they find it interesting and exciting and all those sorts of things. And so we thought it would be fun to just highlight tonight some of the simple, fun ways that people could sort of play along, if you will, from their own homes. So if people wanted to jump in and be part of the sustainability efforts, what are some of the things they might do? So we thought we'd talk about that tonight. So, as you look at that, what are some of the things that come to mind as ways that people, you know, folks in the Sangha right from their very own homes might be able to participate?
What comes up for me is that when looking towards, you know, doing something to make a lifestyle more sustainable, that kind of lends itself to sort of very big projects. In the, you know, the voice that tells you, you know, now you have to completely revolutionize your life. Everything has to change.
Get rid of your car.
Never...
You can't get on airplanes
yeah.
anymore.
No. So I like to, I really like to look at kind of small things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, thinking about power use, you know, there's the nonstop sort of advice coming from everywhere, you know, like to weather strip your house or to make sure your car's tires are inflated or things like that. But that's really good advice, you know, and that really has an impact on how much energy you consume. And at this point, for better or for worse, our energy is coming from a lot of carbon-producing stuff that's playing havoc with the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So simple stuff like that, or just, you know, really taking a second to ask the question, do I really need to drive there? Can I walk there? What's the difference in time? Can I make that an opportunity, you know, to take some time for myself to just really enjoy having the experience of walking around a little bit. Another thing that I like to do is if the weather is cooperating, which in San Francisco can be very hit or miss at any time of the year, is instead of having my morning hot tea, I have sun tea. Just put my little container out with my tea bags in there and let the sun take care of it. And I have a couple of gallons of that. And then I'm not heating water to make my tea.
Yeah, that is a really fun one. That actually, right now at the monastery, we could be really taking advantage of that one.
Yeah, sun is not lacking there.
That's a great idea. So just make sun tea, and then you don't have to turn on the kettle. You're not using propane. You're not using electricity.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And just to take the time always to reflect on that, on just the small ways that you're making an effort and really take that on as opposed to, you know, letting that be something that kind of slides out of the memory. And then it's, you know, we have to make this assessment on, have I saved the world this afternoon? You know, there are all sorts of little opportunities for that. I got some little solar powered LED lights for out in my back garden. So that if I need to go out there after dark, I don't have to flip the big, huge light on, I can maneuver around and not stumble over logs and things.
You know, I actually just did that as well. Just got some, you mean like the little sort of path lights that you can get that have a
mm-hmm.
solar panel on the top? And you know what? They're beautiful.
Yeah, they're quite charming.
I find them adorable. And I just love the same thing. When I'm outside at night, I don't need a whole lot of light. It's plenty of light. And it truly just, you know, all day. I don't know how they do it. They're quite smart. They turn themselves off during the day, and then the panel charges, and then as soon as it's dark, they just pop on.
Yep. So that's sort of around power use, kind of some stuff, and then, you know, there's always the opportunity to grow things, and give back a little bit in that way, if only just to lock up some carbon and some nice wood, you know, have a nice little tree or something like that. One thing that I think is fun is, you know, to try to start getting a feel for the different players in the economy of the soil and whatnot. It would be like to grow mushrooms, for example. You get a little kit. It's just a little log that's inoculated with spores, and you put water on it, and you can see how the fungal mycelium spreads through the medium and how that leads to mushrooms as a fruiting body and whatnot. So you get to make some new friends and get a little bit of a new insight as to how healthy natural systems actually sort of facilitate the transmission of nutrients and whatnot. So that might be a fun way to play along.
You're saying you can get a kit that you can use to grow mushrooms?
Mm-hmm. All kinds. You can get shiitake and I can't remember what the name is of the common food mushroom, but there are all sorts of different mushrooms you can get, and you have your log, and then
just put it out in the yard.
You can actually at the end of it, you can take your former log and then spread it out in your garden or your lawn, and it'll inoculate that space with the fungal mycelium, and they'll go to work and start making friends with all the plants.
Oh, that's really fun. Yeah. Can I just back up one thing and reveal my ignorance on the one of the power ones? So I'm guessing the relationship between, you mentioned air in your tires, is gas consumption?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. If you don't have the optimal tire pressure, my understanding is that decreases your gas mileage, and therefore you're for every mile you go, you're burning more petrol. Cars are not really my area of special expertise, but that's a bit of advice.
That's what you understand. And you know what I love about both that one, and then you mentioned earlier the thing about really looking to see, well, do I need to walk? Is that, and we said this over and over, but it strikes me every time we have you on the show, how compatible it is with awareness practice. You know, because we could say, okay, oh gosh, you know, what's the pressure in my tires? And I mean, does it really matter? But it's such a sort of lovely way to live that, yeah, it matters. Of course it matters. And that attending to those details, you know, conditioning says it's going to be such a pain, and really who can do it anyway and all of that. And as you said earlier, what difference does it make? But it makes a big difference. If you know, maybe the actual carbon difference is small for the particular one car, but the sort of energetic difference, if you will, the difference of how it feels to live in that, I care and it matters and I take the time to check and to put the air in my tires if I need to, is just such a more pleasant way to live.
Mm-hmm. And when you're looking through all of the small little details that conditioning would try to push aside, it's every single one of those little things is an opportunity to wake up.
Yes. Well put. Every single one of those things is an opportunity to wake up. And that is huge. That's not little.
And it's nice to structure your life in such a way that you have things to care about. That's, you know, my favorite part of growing things and of thinking about sustainability is just creating so many opportunities for me to have the experience of caring, because caring for anything is really caring for me.
Yeah, really true. And once you start doing it, like I planted just a little bit of mint. I just love mint. I love mint in my tea and that kind of thing. And I've heard that it grows pretty easily. So I was down at the creek, down at the monastery, and I just picked a little sprig and I planted it. And oh my goodness, does it grow easily. And it has gone crazy. But what I realize is exactly what you're saying. Now I have a responsibility to that mint. And I love that. I love that it's there and that it requires me to pay attention to it and that it needs water. And I put it there. And so it really calls me to that place of caring and nurturing it.
Mm-hmm. And you get to see over and over and over and over again the story that it's going to be such a hassle doesn't pan out.
Exactly.
Every time when I used to come home from work to water the garden, every single day I would come through the door, and then I would have this moment where I had to make a choice, where it's like, I can go upstairs, and I'm never going to make it down to water this garden, or I can just go right now, you know, in my stinky work clothes and tired and whatnot, and just go water them. And every single time I got out there, it was the most pleasant, joyful experience, and it was, you know, the highlight of my day. But I still got the story every time about it, so yeah. It was a really great chance to get a few reps in of seeing through that.
Get a few reps in and seeing through that, and realizing that, you know, the voices aren't going to quit just because we decide we don't want to listen to them anymore. So mm-hmm. to really, really realize, okay, I can just keep making the choice that I want to make.
Absolutely.
So sadly, we're up against the clock, because I know there were several more ideas, so we're going to have you on again soon.
All right. I'm always available.
Okay, cool. Thanks so much, Brian, as always.
Cheers.
Okay, take care. Good night. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Brian. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
That was fun.
That was it? I mean, there was a ton in that, wasn't there? That it was kind of a whole how to go from suffering to a joyful, fulfilling life in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
With mushrooms and hard fires. You know, who'd have thunk it? But it's really true. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I loved all of it, but the thing that I particularly loved was the caring for. I mean, that's,
yes.
talk about going from a life of suffering to a life of freedom and joy. That's it.
Yes.
You know, there's most people aren't old enough to remember this, but there was lyrics to a song when I was growing up that the tagline was, so find yourself somebody to love. And when I discovered Zen practice, just changed that to something. Because, you know, finding somebody is really, in my view, overrated. But finding something, you know, anything that we love is an experience of love for us. Because, of course, what we get is what we do. What we have is what we practice.
Yeah.
So if I'm going around loving stuff, anything, then my experience of life is love. And whether it's some mint or mushrooms or whatever else a person is drawn to, wanting to care for, to make that kind of effort that Brian was talking about. I come home from work, I'm tired, I just want to shower and get something to eat. But what I do instead is not listen to those voices, and I go take care of, he always calls them friends, right? I go take care of my friends in the yard, my friends in the garden, and by the time I get through loving them, all of the difficulties of life have fallen away because I'm living in love.
Yes.
Good deal.
Yes. Yeah, I love that part about how you remind us that if we want to feel love, then we need to love.
Uh-huh.
Instead of going around in that conditioned place of needing love to come from somewhere outside.
Oh, yeah. What a disaster. I mean, you know, it's a hard sell to convince people that there is no outside. But if we just open ourselves to it a tiny, tiny bit, and then we learn something like projection. So I'm going to project this outside, and then I'm going to project my insides onto this imaginary outside. Now, I'm going to take all of this story that I have about not being lovable and nobody loves me and this sort of thing, and I'm going to project that out there, and that's going to somehow magically turn into finding somebody who is going to do for me what I am dedicated to resisting doing inside the only place any of it could ever happen.
Yes.
I don't.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Incredible.
And again, Michael, it's what Jen and Brian were talking about. You know, all of this, the voices in the head, make it sound like it's a big, hard thing. Oh, God, probably going to take a lifetime and I'm never going to be able to do it. Actually, they say you're never going to be able to do it. And it's still not true. It's an absolutely joyful way to live, and we just have to prove that to ourselves. Once we prove that to ourselves, then there's absolutely nothing hard about it. It's just, you know, it's like saying it's really hard to live in paradise. Really? Huh. Probably not.
You know, the other thing I was getting from it and that I've been getting from practice recently is do it now. When the insight comes through, when the idea is there, don't put it on the list. Do it now.
When you've got the inspiration, when life drops it in, it's time for it. That's such a good point, Michael.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I noticed today.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was noticing today a task that I had been procrastinating on for a while, and I looked at it on the computer, and literally about 30 seconds is what it took to do it. I mean, and all I'm doing is giving it over to self-hate for as long as I procrastinate on it.
Yeah, yeah. And you do it, and you feel like a million bucks.
Yes.
So, again, no wonder that system that's devoted to our suffering is not excited about us having these awarenesses and taking these actions. Because, you know, we're just over here snipping off those karma bonds and bound bonds, whatever those things, ropes that tie us, that bind us, and enjoying it more and more and more. So, yeah, we're going to run into some resistance. That's part of the fun.
Yes, yes.
It really is.
Focusing on resistance recently, so we have a lot of new tools there.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, I bet you have some announcements, huh?
I do. Registration is now open for the 12th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk. That's on Saturday, October 5th. Enjoy a fun time and support the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
Yes. And it is 12 years, my goodness gracious. Remember how young we were? Wow.
Yes, yes. Great. And there are just a few spots left for the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat coming up in September. It's an excellent first retreat and is often repeated as a person's practice deepens.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So doing this email class, I kind of want to say to everybody that I write back to, have you considered doing a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat? Because it's just so awful, awful, awful to read the kinds of horrible things those voices in the head are doing to people. It's just vile.
Yes.
And it that retreat is just such a great opportunity to it. If we don't put them out of business completely the first time around, at least get enough distance that we have a good opportunity to see what comes next in our campaign to rid our lives of nasty vileness.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org to find out more and to sign up for any of these events. And I'd like to remind folks of our call-in number. That's 888-4-SANGHA, 888-472-6442. The show ID is 15406. And then you'd enter £1 or your PIN followed by pound. And if you could focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes, that would be fabulous.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. Here we go.
All right.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Michael. This is Chris in Seattle.
Hi.
Chris, how are you?
I am good, thank you.
Are you still off on Tuesday evenings?
No, it's every 6 weeks on Tuesday evening, but I got off early today, so
Very good.
I just call.
Good. What
and
are you up to?
Well, after I had a month at the monastery, I kind of came home and basically kind of went underwater for a while, and the practice didn't carry over with me, and then I was just in a lot of resistance, and then I got into the email class, and that's been and then my schedule changed at work too. We're going to work half an hour later, so I have a little more time in the morning, which has helped jumpstart my morning meditation routine at the same time. So
Chris, I hope you don't feel bad about any of that, because
I don't.
Good. Because we've given up feeling bad, right? But it's such a way the system gets us, right? So you're here for a month. I recall it was a pretty fabulous month, right?
Yes, it was.
Yep. And we feel so good. It's just hard to imagine that we're ever not going to feel this great. So we kind of slide into kind of a manana mentality, right? So, I'm going to take up a regular sitting practice again, but, I'm not right now. And it just kind of slides away from us. And as you indicate, we sort of slide underwater for a while.
Yes. And I knew I was underwater, and still I was not particularly. I mean, I remember once on another call I described it as it feels like, you're miles underwater, but really all I have to do is look up and then, or just stand up and then realize the shore is right underneath my feet. And and it's just been really since the email class got fired up, and I'm enjoying the heck out of that. I'm actually doing it, which is nice progress. I've done email classes in the past where I seem to last about, I don't know, two or three classes before.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it anymore. But I did the Enneagram one last time, and I'm just finding it ever so fascinating. Just reading some description of the type that I test out as, oh, yeah, I do that, yeah.
yeah, that's me, yeah. Yeah, that's me again. You know, this is something I don't know what's happening with our Sangha in general, but I think we're all kind of moving along a similar track in that it used to be that just about everybody made it. If people made it to the third class, it was kind of a miracle. And then, by class eight, I'm talking to myself. I'm just kind of, hoping somebody will write in something. And now people are really staying with it. Not only staying with it, but staying current with it. And so I take that as a really good sign that for at least a large number of us, our practice is solidifying, deepening and being more consistent. We're not as tempted to listen to those voices and get talked out of doing the things that we know support the heart. Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think conditioning doesn't want me to, would rather have me think of it as, after my month at the monastery, things really tailed off and isn't that bad. But, coming back to it now, I don't know, I can't really put it into words or anything, but it's just, it feels right, and I can't really explain it, but I agree with what you just said.
Yeah, it's, we can kind of watch the progress that we're making against resistance, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So if I don't do practice for a while, because something else is going on or whatever, there's no danger that I'm not going to come back to it. In fact, I miss practice. I miss sitting. I look forward to having more time for it. That's a completely different relationship than you know, everything in me is colluding to get out of it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't realize how much I had missed sitting until I started sitting.
Yeah.
Because I was just somewhere else. But I just find that the email class is just, each class provides, even just reading the class assignment or something written in the assignment, there's so much there that assists me in looking at various processes that I do and seeing them as processes. And that's not me. That's just something that this Enneagram thing does. And that's
right.
Like, oh, yeah, I do that every time. But it's not real. It's just a thing. And it helps put it in the side of not me.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And when we add the piece of reading what the folks in the class are doing, you know, it's just such a, to me, it's such a, we're all in this together. And, that's helpful. Oh, that's good. Oh, yes, I do that too. Yeah. Oh,
mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm.
really well stated. Yes, that's good to see that. So it's like being in the world's largest group process at the monastery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's great to hear your voice, sir.
It's great to hear yours.
Family is good.
Family is good. It's been a action-packed, exciting summer of going hither and yon and camp and different camps and travel and it's a good time.
Good time. And now school's gonna ramp up again. And
oh, don't say that word.
No, not that.
Well, my older likes school, my younger one not so much. But it's coming up.
Yeah.
We got plenty of time to do stuff yet.
Oh, good. All right, well, take good care and don't be a stranger, huh?
I will and I won't.
Okay.
All right.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to break for an important message, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
The Year of Deepening Practice has produced a new support opportunity for people of all levels of practice. A team of Zen awareness coaches guided by Sherry Huber, who offer individual coaching to support awareness practice. This coaching program is designed to help strengthen the inner voice of self-compassion and peace, and places a special emphasis on recording and listening. Whether you're brand new or a long-timer, awareness coaching can be the extra support your heart desires. As the Buddha said, we must each work out our own salvation diligently. Zen awareness coaches can assist you wherever you are in your practice. For more information, visit sanghamarket.com. Look for the Little Zen Monk under the Services section. These services are offered with loving kindness to support those wishing to deepen their practice.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rochelle from Charlotte.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Sherry.
How are you?
Hi, Michael.
Good to hear your voice. What's going on?
Well, I'm participating in the email class, and it is brilliant. It is wonderful.
Oh, good. I had a little clue last time we talked about what your type is.
Yes.
And so you're getting some opportunity to see fellow types, right? Which is one of the big advantages, isn't it?
It is. The class is wonderful, but I also think that where I am in practice, the class is right on time.
Well, good.
For what's going on. In my personal practice, and like you said, I feel like the Sangha is all kind of together. We're in the same wave with this. So
that's a good image. Riding the same wave.
Yeah, so
yeah.
We're riding the same wave with this. The other thing is that I've noticed that I have a lot less resistance to being a type 1 than when I did when I first had the class, which opens me up to learning and seeing more of how conditioning manipulates me.
Yes, yes.
So
yes, that's powerful, isn't it?
It is powerful, and I had an experience today that was very enlightening, and that's why I'm calling today. I got the homework or the classwork, class 7, and first of all, I was surprised. I'm like, wow, it's class 7 already.
I know.
You know?
I feel exactly the same way. How did we get here so fast?
Yeah, how do we get here so fast? And so I'm excited. I'm looking for the class, and I get the email and the information. And for the next 48 hours, seeing how conditioning, how this conditioned groove of this personality type works, and how to just turn away from it. And I had the experience today of a telephone meeting that did not go. I'm type 1, so it didn't go perfect. And
right. It didn't go right. There was something wrong with it.
Exactly. And my impression after the telephone conversation or the telephone meeting was to call and complain that it wasn't handled appropriately or they weren't prepared for what we were doing. And this is about a business I'm opening up, so there's a lot of work that's going into this, and so it was kind of disappointing with the meeting. And really had a lot of energy in that and just anger because it didn't go right and other people didn't come prepared and everything, or that's the story it got into. And then I was in the email and about to pull up the telephone number to call and complain, and I saw the Zen class 7 and what I was supposed to be practicing. And I was like, oh, this
That's
is
perfect.
Type 1 at work doing what she does. And so
uh-huh.
It wasn't perfect. She's getting riled up, and she's ready to do battle and about to, try and fix it or point out to them how it wasn't perfect, how it didn't go the way it's supposed to go. And I had to rein it in and think, well, is there anything crucial that needs to be done that I need to discuss this with everybody or what have you? Or was it just my expectation of how it was supposed to be and it didn't meet that type 1 personality's expectations, and so they're ready to be angry and to change it and that type of thing? And I guess this is just a patterned response. And not only that, I didn't have to be angry. I didn't have to use the energy chasing this down. Covered in the meeting, and other than complaining about it or fussing about it not being perfect or not meeting type 1's expectations, I could let it go and do something else with my time and energy.
Yeah.
And I decided to let it go.
And, you know, the thing that I hear about this that makes me so incredibly happy is there was no self-hate.
Oh, no. It's just like, oh, this is the pattern behavior. And it was so unconscious. I mean, it really, it wasn't even something I thought. It was just practice kind of gave me that space to look at what I was doing.
Yeah.
And that process
of
thinking, I'm like, this is just type 1, and this is just a groove. Interestingly enough, even after I made the decision not to call or not to complain or email about it, that it didn't really matter, that it was fine just how it was, the work got done, and to leave it alone, there were a couple of times where conditioning, was looking on the computer to find a number to complain or about to write an email, and it's like, wait, we decided not to do that. And it still was trying to unconsciously get me in that rut and make that phone call or do that email when it wasn't necessary, it wasn't needed. Everything is perfect just like it is. And so even though I made the decision one time, I had to keep consciously making that decision. Otherwise, if I went unconscious, then I was unconsciously going down that pattern behavior of things aren't perfect, things aren't right, I'm angry, I need to fix it.
Wow.
And it was hard to turn away from that. And I was like, okay, this is where the work is. You know, this is that turning away. This is that, you know, all the class builds to this, and now it's that recognizing it and doing the work of turning away and being able to say, it's okay. It is as it is. It didn't meet type one's personality expectations, but in reality,
it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. There's no reason to use your energy that way.
That is such an important point for all of us. Just underlining that when we go unconscious, it's not like we're not paying a price, because as soon as we fall asleep, all of that programming just leaps right in, takes over our lives, and does what it's always done to create chaos and suffering. So I make that conscious decision. I need to stay alert in exactly the way you say, because if I drift off, I'm gonna come to probably hanging up the phone after having given somebody a piece of my unconscious mind, or wake up right in the middle of giving somebody what for, because they didn't do it the way I think it should have been done. And those are terrible moments. Those are moments that inspire us to stay conscious until we get to the other side of karmic conditioning's ability to sprinkle stupid dust over us and take control of our lives and do something unfortunate.
Yes, yes.
And it
was a lesson that it's always turning back to waking up, always coming back and making that decision, no, I'm not going to do that unconsciously. No, I've decided this. It's almost a forever kind of coming back to it. Waking up, going, oh, no, I've decided not to do this. I'm not going to let it unconsciously drag me down this rut.
I made that decision.
Yeah, I've made that decision. Why am I looking up that telephone? I'm going to call and complain about this. You know, we decided it's fine. We're going to leave it alone and spend our energy doing this. And to have to be conscious to get out of that rut, it was a fascinating process today. That is
good. I, of course, I'll never know what you write in, but I'm going to be eager to read more about all of this.
Well, that's why I called, because I didn't think I could get it
in
50 words less.
Oh, right. Well, that's a good point. Yeah. So I got the full story, and then the abbreviated version will go out to everybody else. So that's good. Thank you for that.
Oh, thank you very much, Sherry. I really greatly appreciate it. I've benefited so much from the class and the Sangha and all the tools and things. So I really am very grateful. Learning a lot about how this works, and it's just exciting. And each time I'm able to peel back another layer and get back to authenticity and get my life back to the authentic experience that I want to have.
Yeah. It's exciting and it's fun.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Anna. All right. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rochelle. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sounds like another gratitude show, Sherry.
Yes. Well, and, you know, these calls remind me of something that June, who's, you know, the other part of the email class, was saying to me the other day. You know, it would be really fun, and maybe next year, you know, when we set things up again for the coming year, to do an email class connected to a radio show.
Oh, fun.
For exactly, you know, what happens with this. So people are doing what they're doing, and then there's content to the email class, and we have a chance. I think his name is Eric, who called about, you know, is it okay to bring something from the email class to the radio show? And so, yes, it's perfect. And to set it up that way so that each class is a particular aspect of practice, and we do it within the email class format, and then the radio show that week is devoted to a conversation about what we're seeing in the class. Could be fun. Good idea.
Very fun. Very fun.
Yeah.
Great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Grigsby from Asheville.
Well, hello, Grigsby.
Hey, Cheryl.
How are you doing?
Good to talk. Well, I'm doing pretty well. I'm motivated. I was motivated to call in by the statement you made last week about wanting more people to share their practice. And I've certainly avoided, I've allowed conditioning to keep me from calling in very much over the last couple of years.
Uh-huh.
So I really want to connect. Yeah, I want to connect a lot more with Sangha because I know that is really helpful for me. And, you know, conditioning has me doubting if I have anything valuable to share. But if I do, I certainly want to try to share it.
Yes, and so somebody was saying to me today something that we say around practice with some regularity. We use an image of we're all cells in the body of the Buddha, which is just a, you know, a Buddhist way of saying we're all manifestations of the essence that that is all of this. It's not that we need to have anything particular that's going on or, you know, any great insight or anything like that. The body of the Buddha needs all the cells. So just us being together, practicing together, is the whole thing. And that, I know I can slip out of sounding Buddhist and into California woo-woo, but it really is an energetic thing. And there's a difference when people are just even showing up to basically hold up a hand and say, I'm here. And it can be as simple as just kind of witnessing. Is that a Christian thing, is witnessing? I think witnessing is a Christian thing. But it's kind of, I'm here. I hear you, brother. I hear you, sister. And that's good.
Yeah.
So now that we've established that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I can relate this to some degree to the Enneagram, since my particular type puts a high value on privacy, which doesn't necessarily help me in ways that I feel like I want the help.
Uh-huh. Now, privacy, how are you using that?
Well, how is conditioning using it, I think, would be the question.
That is the better question. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, it's a holding back and a protection of, the false self, really.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes.
That's what it
likes to do, doesn't it? It specializes in hiding out. It's really quite cowardly in the sense that it only talks inside one person's head. You know, it never wants to reveal itself in public where anybody can call it on its stuff. And
I was just going to say it doesn't want to be exposed.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So it's a bully. It's a coward. And and one of the things I like best about Sangha and about these kinds of situations is we do expose it. In a big way.
And right.
Yeah.
And my authentic self, if I can use that word, is very, very grateful for that.
Yes. 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 So there's that authenticity, the innocence. And we have the innocence in the, you know, the way that we'll often talk about it as the sort of childlike, innocent aspects of ourselves. And then just the kind, gentle, good, loving ways that we know we are. And all of that being trounced regularly by this really hateful conversation. The more we reveal that hateful conversation, the safer it is for innocence to be, to live, to be seen and appreciated and enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can see, just as you say that, how conditioning has spent a lot of my life trying to really cover that up.
Yes.
Yeah. And
both sides of it, right? Cover up the innocence and the sweetness and kindness and goodness. Cover up the whether it's in the child or in the grown man.
Uh huh.
And then it also tries to hide itself, of course.
Right. Right. Yeah. So one thing, I'll mention one thing that's been really valuable for me in the last several months is the coaching program that I've been involved with.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And one of the, I guess for the last, I've been back from China for a year. And
wow.
The main thing that seems to be going on with me with regard to practice and just in general in my life has been a relationship issue that carried over from the time I was overseas. And it's a distant relationship. And I've watched a lot of indecision going back and forth around it. And working with my coach has really, really been helpful with regard to that.
Good. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I've noticed in the work that there's some sides of myself that have very, very different desires and understandings, and a lot of my conditioning gets involved.
Mm-hmm. Has opinions about all of the ways you are.
I'm sorry, what did you just say?
Conditioning has a lot of opinions about all of the ways that you are.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. However, I do feel I'm reaching greater clarity, and I'm beginning to work on some process mapping with regard to that with my coach, so I'm really looking forward to that process.
Oh, that's great, Grigsby. I'm really glad you mentioned that, because it is one of the, and I can't remember, this sounds familiar, but everything does at this point. It's such an unusual, it fills such a an important need in Sangha to have another person really steeped in practice, who can help focus on an issue and look at it in the kind of in the way you're pointing out, that to help you see all of the different aspects of you that are involved, all of the ways conditioning is involved, and to be that mirror to help us see. So if we go on retreat, we can bring something up, we work on it, but then sort of the time passes, and then we're on to the next thing and the next insight or whatever. So to have that coach there who week after week is going to help us go, well, now here, this is what you were looking at last time, and then during the week you've seen this, so where are we now with that? Very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly how this has been helpful for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
I'll say one more thing about my life and what's been going on. I really feel I've been back about a year from overseas, and it's like I'm starting a new life. And there's certainly a lot of challenges around that, being in a new city. But I can really feel a lot of excitement at times, a lot of great opportunities.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, yeah. I'm extremely happy with where I'm at here in this city in Western North Carolina, and all the support that's available here within the local seating group, as well as other people who are on their various other paths.
Yeah. And what a statement that to make these kinds of changes in life, and this is not in the, we'll say this is not in the first third of your life. To make these huge changes and to be really happy with where you are in your life, that's saying a lot. That's a lot of work paying off.
Well, yeah, and that is, I'm really glad to hear you say that, and you're reflecting back what I often think.
Yeah, but that's good, because yeah. I would venture to say, because it's true.
It's certainly related to the gratefulness I feel for practice and, you know, all the inner work.
Yeah. We're very lucky, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Mm-hmm. Well, sir, you the voices might have wanted you to say that there wasn't much to share, but I would say that, not surprisingly, they were wrong.
Well, thank you. I can agree.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right. Take good care. Talk to you soon, huh?
Thank you. Good to talk to
you. And you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Grigsby. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. We're going to hear from our sponsor, Sherry, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller.
Hi.
You are now
live, Sherry,
on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Jane in Salida, Colorado.
Well, hello, Jane. How are you?
Well, I am great. This is another gratitude call and an infomercial for getting me to the monastery. I hadn't been there. Yes, I would love to. I hadn't been there for 8 years. I went to a There's Nothing Wrong With You 8 years ago that totally rocked my world. And then the end of June, I was there for a How You Do Anything. And it was a most amazing 6 days of just seeing how much more light I can have in my light room. I think that conditioning had my light room on a dimmer switch or something, but it was very, very, very eye-opening. And I just want to say thank you to all the people and all the hearts that make that place what it is, because it is a very magical place. And I don't know why exactly the work goes so deep there, but it really does.
It really does, doesn't it? I love that image that conditioning had your light room on a dimmer switch, and you have now discovered how much more light is possible in that light room. That's what we're going for, isn't it? Yeah.
It was amazing. It was like I learned that there was nothing wrong with me, so I sort of got like to a zero place, but it wasn't going to let me really have anything right about me. You know, so it just flew off the top realizing my authentic self in a whole new way. Yeah, it was an amazing, amazing workshop. So thank you so much to you and Ashwini for making that happen in the way you do.
Well, you are just as welcome as a day in May. You know, you can come back anytime you want us to, you know, help you crank up that dimmer switch. I guess it shouldn't be a dimmer switch, should it? We have to invent a different one so that it's a brightener switch, or
like changing the light bulb to a higher wattage or something.
It was
great. So yeah, and I'm in the email class, so more gratitude for that. And I am a 7 who wishes everybody could be really happy.
And, and for many reasons, right? Generous reasons and not so generous reasons.
Right.
Because
happy
people are so much happier to be around.
Yes, yes. And you've told me on and off for the last 8 years that when I end my own suffering, then that's where I need to focus. And I'm having that experience of seeing how really ending my own suffering, really it impacts everybody around me. So even though I'm not focusing on ending their suffering, I'm having that felt body authentic experience of just seeing my connection with my precious family shifting, and I'm more effective at work. It's really really true. You're right.
Well, you know, I don't need to hear that, but you know, it's always nice.
Yeah, it's a great gift. Yeah.
That's good.
And then
go ahead.
I have one more thank you, and that is for my local awareness group. I had the experience just last night of realizing that self-hate had taken over my food, my relationship with food, that I did a cleanse a few months ago and had this experience of how incredibly great I felt and how my mind was even different when I was really, really eating clean.
Yes.
So I had that experience, which you would think would be a positive thing, but self-hate figured out how to take it over. And so when I just have a little bit of sugar, it would be horrific. It would be horrible.
Mm.
And even though I didn't really notice how I felt different, but I know I felt horrible because of self-hate beating me up about it. And thank goodness for my awareness group, and I saw it and named it, and it's just crazy. I woke up this morning and it was like a day of light instead of a day of self-hate beating me up. Yeah, it's just amazing. This practice is absolutely amazing.
It is. Is it? Hey, now speaking of the cleanse, did you do the Colorado cleanse or was it a different cleanse?
You know, I heard that on another radio show, and I went back to try to find out what it was, because you'd think I would know. I live in Colorado, but I don't know what that is. So I don't know if I did it or not. How do I find out what it is?
Well, I don't know. But the connection I wanted to make, so Grigsby was talking about the coaching, and we have a thing now where some of the coaches are actually supporting people through – it's for us, this particular cleanse, just because it's the one basically we got introduced to and found it so powerful in exactly the way you described, that not only does it make a tremendous difference for the body, but the difference in the mind, the clarity when those toxins go live somewhere else is just astounding. So coaches, we have coaches now who are supporting people through the cleanse because we agree. It's just such a a powerful support, such a great companion to awareness practice.
Yeah, I totally love how the focus you're putting on health and you know, eating differently, because it does really impact. Somebody said it sounds sort of airy-fairy, but it's like, I feel like my vibrational level's higher, but it's really true.
Oh, yeah. it is really true. You know, the only people who make fun of that sort of thing are people who aren't having the experience.
Oh, yeah. That's true also. Yeah.
Well, so thank you, Jane.
Deep bow of gratitude to everyone.
And,
thank you
and
so
back,
much.
And back to you. And just stop by anytime.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jane. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And the gratitude continues.
Yeah. It's good. It's really good. I have to tell you something. Or do we have time for another caller? Because if we do, I'll take the caller rather than ramble on about stuff.
Yeah, we might have time for both. Who knows?
Okay. Well, so Jane was talking about being there 8 years ago and then coming back and doing another retreat, and we've been talking about there's nothing wrong with you. And so one of the things that, you know, we always like to invite people back for new, exciting things. So old-timers know that about 25 years ago, the first place that we meditated in the monastery was a platform out under the trees. And we, you know, we did everything there. The alternative was a mash tent, and we were so grateful to get out of it that sitting outside was glorious. So we did that for a long time, and then eventually, as we tend to do, we put a roof on it and put walls on it, windows in it, and it's now the meditation set. So the weather, as you know, in California has just been hot. So the other place that people could be for the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat was the meditation hut. And we have no electricity down there. We have no way to cool it, and we were afraid people were going to die. And so we all got together and put on this huge push to create another platform under the trees. So we now have another open-air place for people to meditate on these beautiful summer days, and we got it ready in time for this current There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat that's going on. Wow. It's just, I love everything about that. I love that it's, you know, repeating where we started out so many years ago. I love it that if the Sangha made such an effort to come together to create this for this group of people who are there, kind of a, you know, wanting them to know how happy we are that they're there. And then also something very lovely for those of us who are around here all the time, to be able to be outside in nature and have a cool place to be when the days are, when the evenings are so very warm. So I just wanted people to know about that.
That's great. I can picture it right now.
Oh, so beautiful, Michael. So beautiful. It's over where the garden hermitage used to be, by the garden, those big oak trees. It's really, and it's on its way to being a stunner, I think. So so if people haven't been around for 8 years or even say 6 months, it's time to come back again, because we have a new thing to share with you.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And we have time for another caller.
Excellent. Thank you.
Excellent. If we can get this system to respond. There we go.
Oh.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jeff in North Carolina.
Hi.
Oh, hello, Jeff.
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Michael. How are you?
Good, good. It's great to hear your voice. What's going on?
Well, a lot, actually. I'm a teacher, so I've had summers off, and it happened very fortunately that a little before this summer started, I started with Zen coaching, and
uh-huh.
It's really sparked a, I don't even know what to say about it, but I've just been doing so much more with my practice than I have in a long time, and it's been amazing, so much more than I could have ever imagined.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been a great time.
And
you know,
Jeff, may I ask? Because it sounds like you're really feeling a benefit from it and that it's easy. Is that fair to say?
What was the last part of it? It's easy? Is that what you said?
Easy. Uh-huh. It's not the grisly uphill slog that the voices of conditioning might have predicted that having more focus on your practice would be.
Right, that's certainly true, and just the benefits, have been so much greater than I was sort of thinking, I wasn't even sure I was committed to the Zen coaching thing. I was just kind of like, you know, kind of so-so about it. I wasn't, you know, and then I signed up, and it's led to doing a lot of process mapping, and then doing a lot of reassurances, which has been incredible. It's just really a huge difference with self-hate, and then the email class, and you know, listening to Open Air, and it's just been so fantastic. So
good. Life is has taken a great turn for the better, we could say.
Yeah, it really has been amazing. You know, I feel like there's been a lot of growth through the years in lots of ways, and you know, I kept up my meditation practice, and you know, would sit with a meditation group and do other spiritual stuff. But this summer, it's really, I don't know, I've been wanting to do more and really getting the benefit. I think one of the big breakthroughs was doing process mapping on my process around practice itself, because it seemed like there were hidden beatings going on in there that were believable, because, you know, well, of course I should practice more, and, you know, and just even though it wasn't said in quite this way, there was the beatings for when I didn't practice more, or, you know, things like that. So that was big, and the reassurances, I've just made it so such an intention to be right there for myself when I come back, and not let that beating get in about, you know, how long I've been gone or what I messed up or, you know, what was out there or. And also really, really practicing them a lot when things are good.
Really. Thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge, isn't it?
Yeah. It is, because because that's, you know, that's there's the love is there, and it's accessible.
Yes.
And so just really really practicing it at those times, and it's so enjoyable. It feels so good to both to be the love, the person who is the person, so to speak, to be the love, and to be the person who is being loved, because there's been so much practice of that, then when there's a moment of need, it's so much more likely to come up. As the response, you know, it's not as hard to find.
Yeah, and so it's great to have a practice that we can turn to when we're suffering, that can bring us up out of suffering. But the joy is there when we practice in the good times.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's been so true. You know, this summer, I mean, it's been everything from pretty good to incredible. I had a great day. I'm recently on a bicycle and taking public transport now, an intentional choice, which has been a great part of the summer that I'll too that I won't go into right now. But just one day, I rode public transport off pretty much all day, apart from a couple of things I had to do, and I had a blast doing it. And I know it was because of the practice. I'd listened to Open Air the night before, and it just, all the reassurances. It just, what a great, being present to almost anything can make it an adventure, and it was. I played with a baby on the bus for 7 or 8 minutes, and it was just such a great time. And I got on the wrong bus, and I missed another bus, and people were so helpful, and all these kind of things were happening, and when I got on the wrong bus, it instead took me right to where I needed to go instead of just close by, I connected that all to just kind of being open-hearted, and being in that loving space where life was miraculous. Life is miraculous.
Yes, and we know it. So one of the things, of course, that I'm sure we've talked about over time, but when you're in love, everything is fun. Everything is an adventure. Everything is exciting. You get on the wrong bus. Who cares? We're having fun. It takes all day to do one errand. What difference does it make? We're together, and that's what you're describing to me. And you're living in love.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. Yeah, it's all a joy. And as you say, when you hit something rocky, well, okay, there's room for that too. And it's just a bump in the road, and we'll get past it. And what we know is there's the joy again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's great. I think of there's this one of the Practice Everywhere tweets says the more we participate, the more we transform. Or maybe it's the way something like that. But anyway, that really has been my experience this summer, and I think of it also as there just the more things that are going on, checking the Enneagram class things or having different things that I'm looking at in my own practice, or reading the tweets and saying the reassurances and all the rest of it, doing some process mapping and there's so many different places that can bring me back. Which doesn't allow me to get as far out there. And there's all this input from the heart and from the practice. And the intentional, and I love the shifting kind of foci, because it's hard for conditioning to kind of get in, kind of get anything really solid.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, we got to stay ahead of it.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
because
go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, just that with so many different practice things going on, there's something is going to break through that it can't protect against. Looking at this from all different angles, there's no way it can have the shields up in all different directions at once. So awareness is going to see through things so much faster.
Yeah. And what to me, what you're pointing at with all of this, Jeff, is that what we have to be willing for is to live in love.
Mm.
If we're willing for that, then all of the magic and all of the miracles are ours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sometimes, that sounds like, well, of course I'm willing for that. But we got a little work to do before we get there. And then, you know, we do the work, and suddenly there you are. And you realize, wow, this is available to me all the time. I can live here all the time. Yep, I want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
totally. Well, thank you. Thank you for that.
Thanks so much, Sherry. Thanks, Michael. Have a great night.
Keep in touch. You too. Thanks,
okay.
Jeff. Good night.
Bye now.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jeff. Well, that was amazing.
That was a good time.
That was a great time, and it was certainly the gratitude show for me.
Yeah. I could relate to everything everybody said.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm grateful to you too, sir, for showing up week after week after week after week and making this possible for us. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
See you next week.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.